Second Epistle to Timothy, chapter 3, reading from the verse number 10 to the end of this chapter.
But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured! But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works.
In the first half of the chapter 9, we could have seen an awful condition of the hearts and minds and souls of some professing but not practicing believers. Unto a sincere, genuine minister of Christ, a faithful servant of the gospel, verse number 7 can appear very, very frustrating. They are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then the Spirit of the Lord is revealing to us through the writings of the Apostle Paul in the verse number 8 that this battle, this strife of the faithful against sin and iniquity, has been going on since many, many years, centuries ago, since the fall of the mankind. In all of the Scriptures, we find only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, foretold by the prophets and all the sacrifices of the faithful in the times of old, and preached by the apostles and evangelists since the beginning of the New Testament era. And in all of the Scriptures we find only one arch enemy, Satan, the devil. But God is never frustrated. He knows the end before the beginning. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of God's Spirit, the Apostle Paul is giving us an example. In the verse number 9, he is not fretting. He knows that they, the enemies of the gospel, the traitors of the Lord Jesus Christ, the professing believers, yet the slaves and victims of Satan himself, shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as it had been ever since the beginning. As Paul has stated in the verse number 12 of the first chapter in this epistle, I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, not confused, not afraid. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep all I have committed unto him against that day. And then he is encouraging us in the next verse, hold fast the form of sound words. And that is our ministry. An enormous, amazing transformation changed Saul of Tarsus into the Apostle Paul. That great mystery of Christ's Spirit's power has become a wonderful revelation to Timothy. They lived together, they worked together, they have become so close and so united brothers in the Spirit of Christ, and that was probably a unique opportunity for Timothy to absorb as much as he was able and willing to, the blessed influence of the Lord's Spirit through the Apostle Paul. May it also be our prayer, pleasing to the Lord, and the desire of our souls, to learn and to absorb as much as we can from such an example as we have been given here, a lifelong offering of deepest gratitude and the highest reverence and godly respect toward the Lord Jesus Christ from the heart of his faithful apostle. Paul is reflecting back on his experience, his ministry. He remembers all the persecutions, and there is no complaint at all. He is remembering persecutions as the proofs of the Lord's deliverances. He remembers persecutions as Christ's own mark upon the lives of his faithful disciples. Paul suffered so much, but the Lord delivered him. The intentions of Satan were not accomplished. Not only the Apostle Paul was preserved in the grace of our Lord, but he was growing and progressing and receiving revelation after revelation and delivered testimony after testimony. He has been faithful to the end. In the verse number 12 he says, "Yes, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Even in the quiet times where and when the faith and free confession and practice of Christian faith is protected by the land laws, there is always some form or degree of persecution against those that are sincerely and faithfully following the Lord Jesus Christ. And these persecutions are not always afflicted by the world or the powers that are in the world. Many times and in many situations, those that persecute faithful believers are nominal believers. As we can read in the third epistle of John, verse 9, "Even in our days there can be not one but many of the same kind, Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among the believers, and who is sometimes secretly and at other times openly and in some cases very skillfully rejecting the spirit and guidance of the Lord through the apostles. These evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." This simple wisdom has been revealed to the simple children of the Lord, and at the same time it has been hidden from the understanding of the proud deceivers. Everyone deceiving the others is deceiving himself or herself, because the deceivers believe that it's profitable for them to deceive the others, and they know not that there is no profit in deception. Yes, they will progress, they will gain success and some accomplishments that might provide for them very short-lasting satisfaction. But what they refuse to think of and acknowledge in their hearts and minds is the fact that they are on the path of self-destruction, that their perspective is forever sharing the judgment of God with their master, the greatest deceiver of all, Satan himself. We are encouraged in the verse number 14 not to follow the evildoers, regardless of how many there be, but to continue in the things which we have learned and have been assured of, knowing that it has been the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ teaching us through the apostles. Some of us can be very grateful that we had believing parents and from early childhood were instructed in the ways of the Scriptures. In the Holy Scriptures, there is that wisdom from above. That wisdom can make us wise only if we trust and obey our Lord Jesus Christ, and in Him we have our salvation. In the groups where the pure teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ's Spirit was replaced by the tradition, empty knowledge, and dead religion, the deceivers have great success. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is safe, and no other spirit, no evil spirit has that power and that wisdom to make us true and faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of our pilgrimage. When we trust and obey our Lord and Savior, He is living in us and we are living in Him, and the abundance of heavenly wisdom and the multitudes of blessings of His salvation are all ours in Christ Jesus our Savior, our Lord. In the verse number 16, Paul is giving a very strong statement. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all of the Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All of the Scriptures given to us have one direction, one intention, that the man of God may be perfect, growing toward perfection, truly furnished unto all good works. Parts of this chapter 3 are terrible, ugly, and yet even that scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that one especially might be profitable, that we might keep the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ when the others are violating them, that we may reprove, that we may correct whenever appropriate, and also keep ourselves open for reproof and correction whenever is coming from the Spirit of the Lord. The Scripture is an instruction unto righteousness. When the Scripture is giving us advice, direction, and commandment, what we are supposed to do for the Lord and serving the Lord. Also, when the Scripture is telling us what is sin and evil and wickedness that we must keep ourselves from, the Scripture is always an instruction in righteousness. In the Epistle to the Philippians, in the chapter 3, verses 14 and 13, Paul is writing, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Here, in the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 3, the last verse, verse number 17, Paul is saying that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I am confident not to offend any one of you that are going to listen to this presentation when I say that we are far behind the example of the Apostle Paul, far from the perfection toward which we are encouraged to aim and strive. all the days of our pilgrimage. May our Heavenly Father keep us prayerful and grant us an open heart and mind to receive more and more of His whole armor of godliness. May He also grant us victory day after day, victory over self and selfishness, victory over sin and death, victory over Satan and the world, victory of the Christ Spirit dwelling in our hearts, controlling our daily walk. I remember long ago when the recordings of Bible reading appeared on the shelves of the so-called Christian bookstores, and when I got my first sets of the Bible reading and started listening and listening and listening many, many hours, the Word of God became like a mighty river of God's grace and goodness as never before in my experience. My inner man was blessed day after day. The Word of God was beautiful, marvelous, powerful. Oh yes, from time to time I had arguments with the professional readers because I was under impression that their accent is revealing different understanding than what I believed was intended understanding of a certain passage or verse. And yet that fact did not prevent me from enjoying the Word of God. It was like the Lord Jesus Christ preaching an endless sermon, and my job was such a one that I was able to listen for a long, long time. In those days and years, this verse number 16 was gleaming more brightly than ever before. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is obvious in the life of the Apostle Paul, and I am confident that it had been the experience of Timothy also, that he remembered the past days with gratitude to the Lord for His loving care, and he was looking forward to meeting the Lord in glory with a deep longing and desire of his soul to be there to worship the Lord.